And again, one translation indeed. All praise belongs to Allah the Most High. We thank Him, we seek His aid. We seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there's no one who can mislead Him. And whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there's no one to guide him. I bear witness that there's no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His worshiper and His messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul and from it created its mate, and from the two of them He spread forth many men and women. Be careful of your duty to Allah whom you demand your mutual rights, and be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you indeed. Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial and He will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. Indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray. And each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, accept our dua. O Allah, save us from that. And in the hadith, on the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah said, Allah, the mighty and sublime be He, will say on the day of resurrection, O son of Adam, I fell ill, and you visited me not. He will say, O Lord, and how should I visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, Did you know not that my servant so-and-so had fallen ill and you visited him not? Did you know that had you visited him, you would have found me with him? O son of Adam, I asked you for food and you fed me not. He will say, O Lord, how should I feed you when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, did you know that my servant so-and-so asked you for food and you fed him not? Did you know that had you fed him, you would have surely found that reward for doing so with me? O son of Adam, I asked you to give me drink and you gave me not anything to drink. He will say, O Lord, how should I give you to drink when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, my servant so-and-so asked you to give him drink and you gave him not to drink. Had you had given him to drink, you would have surely found that with me. And this was related by a Muslim hadith. And when we look at this particular hadith, you know, it talks about the importance of being of service to others, When we and Allah has throughout the Quran talks about the importance of service, of us giving service. Even the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would have people check on his neighbor. And it was a neighbor who was hostile towards him. She was probably, an early version of the Karens. You know, she would harass the Prophet. And one day she didn't harass him and said, well, you know, go check on my neighbor. And then just to make sure she was okay. And in this particular ayat, Allah talks about in Surah Ma'un, He said, has thou observed him who believeth, belieth religion? That is he who repelleth the orphan and urges not the feeding of the needy. Ah, woe unto the worshippers who are heedless of their prayer and who would be seen at worship yet refuse acts of small kindness. And this again, Surah Ma'un, Allah is just talking about the people who practice their deen from a superficial perspective. As Muslims, we have to be of those. If we're submitting to Allah, we should be of service to people. You know, and again, it's not about worshiping people. It's not the fact that, you know, we're engaging in shirk. But when we are kind to creation, then we are doing the work. We are, as the hadith says, that if you feed somebody, if you give them drink, you know, if you basically help somebody else, it's as if, you know, you are basically doing the work that Allah is just so fond of. And He says you will get a special reward for that. It doesn't say that you're feeding Allah. It's saying, again, if you take care of creation, then you will be loved by the Creator. And just like if you neglect and destroy creation, then you will be neglected and destroyed by the Creator as well. It's an inversion as well. So we have to begin the work of doing, being in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if we go, again, go through life engaging in self-centered pursuits and just basically just concerned about ourselves, then we're not serving Allah. We're not being of those who are in service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're only serving our nafs, and our nafs is, the again, our lower self, our desires. And as Allah says that, have you not seen the person who takes their own desires as their Lord? You know, and again, so we can worship anything. So we have to be of those who are worshiping Allah through the service of others. You know, what are some of the ways we can help? As Muslims, we need to be involved in dealing with the people who are dealing with homelessness, people who are dealing with hunger. We have an inordinate amount of violence in the society. We have to be of those to be involved in the activism to reduce the violence. You know, we have domestic violence as well. And so we have to find our niche and where we can give service, no matter what our career choice is. Our vocation is just one thing. That helps us get fed. That helps us get clothing. That helps us get housing and drink. But the vocation is just something that you do. Allah has given us all 168 hours in the week. If we're only working 40 hours and sleeping 30, then what are we doing with the rest of that time throughout the week? How are we serving Allah? All He asks is, what, 2.5 hours just for the 5 prayers for the week? Just for, you know, He gave us everything. As Allah, you know, says in the Quran, فَبِيَيَّ لَا يُرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. Which of your favors do you deny? He gave us everything. And all He asked for in return, we fast once a year if we can, but 2.5 hours a week, if you add all the prayers up, if you're just doing the basic prayers, comes up to 2.5 hours out of the 168. We have to start doing the work, and doing the work is a means of serving Allah. You know, because if we are so stuck on just serving our own vain desires, then Shaitan has us. He will be able to, you know, pull you into the hellfire with him, as he was given respite until the day of judgment. And, you know, he will take people who will take him, you know, for the most part, as their Lord. So we have to be of those who minimize the self-centeredness and be selfless. You know, again, you want to take care of yourself first, making sure that you're engaging in self-care, exercising, eating right, sleeping right, taking care of your family. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that the best charity that we give can be the charity to your family. You know, you take care of yourself, your family, those outside your family. But a lot of times we do an inversion. We want to look good and be seen of men outside of our family unit, but yet our family is suffering mentally, physically, and spiritually. So we have to be of those who are engaging in service to others. You know, and again, avoiding self-centeredness. And again, what caused Shaitan to basically get the punishment that he got is because he was so self-centered. He was so egotistical. He was really the first racist. He said, you know, he looked at Adam and said, you know, he's made out of dirt and I'm made out of fire. You know, and so, you know, basically, I'm better than him. You know, so we have to not feed into that shaitanic type of desires, because it blinded him, and we don't want to be blinded, again, by our own desires. We have to basically be of those who are visionaries and be of those who recognize that even though things may look dim at times, Allah got this, you know, but if we basically worship him, then what will happen is he will basically give us all of the rewards that we strive for, because he says you get what you strive for. If you strive for nothing, you'll get nothing. If you strive to make the society around you better, then Allah will give you that. You know, if you're striving for wealth, then, you know, he'll give you that. But wealth is a test. Because imagine, again, on the day of judgment, any wealth that you have can be like a weight around your neck. You know, and so if we have wealth, we want to basically make sure it's moving throughout the society and benefiting the people, making sure that the wealth is of service to others. Again, if I've said anything that's inconsistent with what Allah has given us and the Prophet, peace be upon him, teaches us, I take responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new insight, all praise is due to Allah. La ilaha illallah. وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير again, we have to be of service to others. Being of service to others. There's one of the quotes that I like from Muhammad Ali. He said that service to others is the rent that you pay for your room here on earth. Service to others is the rent that you pay for your room here on earth. And again, when we look at that, you know, we see that, you know, what we give, even if we give charity, giving out charity is like, you know, said in the Quran, just like planting one seed of corn. And what's the return on that one seed of corn? You get, again, a stalk of corn, which has several ears of corn, and each ear has probably about 100 seeds. And that's the return that we get, you know, from you know, the planting of that one seed. So that's the similitude of charity. Each act of charity that we do, we will get multiple blessings from that one act of charity. These are some of the things that we have to recognize that, you know, what we do here on earth counts. This is just, again, our middle womb. Our true life begins in the hereafter. But Shaitan will blind us to the fact that, you know, again, that you know, that thinking that this is it. You know, you have people say, well, this is it. There's nothing after this. But can you imagine basically just eternity, no more time. Time is killed. Death is killed. You know, so that's what we're looking forward to. It doesn't mean that we can't strive to attain certain things here on earth, but we can't allow those things, the goal of attaining things, to be our God, to be our object of worship. So we have to be of those who are recognizing the hereafter, but also, as we say in our dua, you want the best in this world and the best in the hereafter. And so we want to continuously strive, you know, for that. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا أهل القوم الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear, and overlook our faults, and forgive us, and have mercy on us. You are our protector, and grant us the victory over the disbelieving people.